Hello, this is Cynthia Andrews, co-author of On the Edge of Reality. You can learn more about me at my website, thepathofenergy.com, and you are listening to the 21st Century Radio with Dr. Bob Hieronymus.
Oh, welcome back to 21st Century Radio, and they're ah-ooming us right about that. There's nothing like being ah-oonoomed every now and then. Our next guest is Roberta Grimes, and it's book is called Liberating Jesus. I've been looking forward to reading this for some time. Roberta Grimes spent decades studying nearly 200 years of afterlife evidence and forming a detailed picture of what happens at and after death. She then discovered that 2,000 years ago, Jesus told us things about God, reality, death, and the afterlife, and human nature, and the meaning and purpose of our lives that perfectly match the afterlife evidence in even small details. She outlines many of these correspondences in the appendices of her books, and she's joined my wife, Dr. Queen Zahara, to talk about one of her books. I think it was, yes, it was The Fun of Dying, and also The Fun of Staying in Touch. Okay. That's correct. She is a graduate of Smith College and Boston University School of Law. Roberta issues weekly podcasts on webtalkradio.net called Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes that includes interviews with prominent experts. Her iTunes Seek Reality Archive has hundreds of thousands of subscribers, and she blogs and answers questions at robertagrimes.com. Almost called you Robert Grimes there. Are you? I'm sorry. I really enjoyed this book. I learned a lot from it as well. So welcome to 21st Century Radio. You were with my wife last time you came by, right?
Yes, I think that's exactly right. Yeah, thank you for having me here. I've enjoyed listening to your introduction and your take on things. And no, you're not the first person to call me Robert Grimes. It happens almost every day. They think my name is Robert A. Grimes for some reason. I don't know why.
Well, it's not my fault. I had nothing to do with it. And I'm sure, and you didn't have anything to do with it either, right?
Very little.
Okay.
I chose an uncle named Robert. That was about it.
Afterlife, how did you become interested in investigating it?
When I was 8 years old, I woke up in the middle of the night and thought there was no God. I was terrified, and I had an experience of light. There was a flash of bright white light in my room, and a voice said, "You wouldn't know what it is to have me if you didn't know what it is to be without me. I will never leave you again." Which sounds like a big deal, but when you're eight, nothing surprises you. I thought, oh, it's handy. If you forget there's a God, they remind you. And I went back to sleep. But I never told anyone what had happened to me. You don't when you have that kind of experience. And I wanted to know where that came from. I thought it must have come from where the dead are, and that actually turned out to be right.
Mm-hmm. Well, in what ways do the afterlife evidence and the teachings of Jesus validate one another?
Jesus told us things. Well, first we have to understand we know a lot about what happens at and after death, and we received much of what we know prior to 1950 through deep trance mediums and channels. And I entered this, and I still am a skeptic about all of this, but I wanted to know, I thought if I could find some of them that matched, that I could sort of begin to figure out what was going on. The amazing thing is, through hundreds of these communications received, most of them between like 1910 and 1930, they all match. There's not a single outlier. They tell us things, the dead tell us things about God, reality, death, the afterlife, and the meaning and purpose of human life that all fit with what everybody else in the same period is saying. And these were received in England and in southern England and also in the eastern U.S. So there's no copying there. It's all different stories, but they're all in the same place. So after I had put it together, I've read the Bible repeatedly, probably 8 times or something. I read it for decades, cover to cover. And I knew Jesus had said some of this stuff. So I just had to compare. I read the Gospels one afternoon with knowing what I knew then about the afterlife evidence. Jesus, in the Gospel 2,000 years ago, told us things about God, reality, death, the afterlife, and the meaning and purpose of our lives we could not have confirmed until the 20th century. That is huge news. That any, it doesn't matter if you're a Christian or don't have a religion or anything. The fact that anybody who was alive 2,000 years ago and said things and had his words preserved, even in continuous custody of the Catholic Church all that time, and we open them and we look at them and we know he knew the truth 2,000 years ago. That's incredible. It was the Iron Age, for heaven's sake.
Well, what makes you suspect that the modern English Gospels are God's new revelation?
Well, we know the old one didn't take. There are more than 40,000 versions of Christianity now.
I fell off my chair when I read that.
Yeah, well, yes, they can. And I looked it up again. Now it's 40. I mean, it's like they're spreading like a cancer.
Yeah, geez, who is? Okay. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interfere with that, but it's pretty shocking.
It's amazing, isn't
yeah,
it? But the fact is, none of them makes the teachings of Jesus on love, forgiveness, and the meaning and purpose of our lives, how much we should be growing spiritually, none of them takes that even seriously.
That's true.
I've talked with Christians who are zealous Christians. They think they have a get-out-of-hell-free card, which they don't. Because the other thing that we learn from studying the afterlife evidence is that there's no evidence whatsoever that the dogmas of traditional Christianity are anything but first century Jewish beliefs. You don't have to be a Christian to get into heaven. There is no anthropomorphic God. The death of Jesus on the cross, as far as we can tell, has never made a difference in a single human mind or human future, because God never judges anybody. And what gets me about that is Jesus says that in the Gospels, but nobody listens to him. If God doesn't judge us, why would we need to make the sacrifice to begin with? And God doesn't judge us. God is much greater than I ever learned. And I was the world's most zealous Christian. So it's been tough for me. This has been a wound that I had to look hard at this religion I had followed all my life. And in the end, I had to decide, did I love Jesus or did I love Christianity? I don't think you can possibly love both. And I chose Jesus, and I'm certainly not looking back. If the whole world would follow the teachings that we Christians, we have the winning hand right there in the Bible. We just ignore it. If the whole world would follow the teachings of Jesus, we would bring the kingdom of God on earth very quickly. But people aren't following the teachings. Most of them don't even understand what they are.
Well, you can especially see that today. And in regards to fundamentalism today, it's really gotten to be quite absurd.
Yeah, you're right.
And you know, because the very idea of unconditional love, which Jesus is all about, is not being practiced.
It's not. But they're very judgmental, aren't they?
Absolutely. Judgmental. And obviously, they think they've read their Bible, but maybe they think it's okay to read it, but not to live it. I don't know.
Well, that's the problem. Jesus tells us to live it, and people are not. And I'll tell you something. When I wrote The Fun of Dying and there was this appendix which talked about the correspondences, I thought I ought to try it out. I began March of 2011 to really try to live the gospel. There are ways to do it that make it easy, and it's quick. You can transform yourself internally, make yourself an entirely new creation, and you can do it in a little more than a year, and then it gets better and better. I cannot begin to tell you how well the teachings work. It's just that they've never been tried.
Well, we'll get more to them in just a little while, but how did you discover that your primary guide was once Thomas Jefferson?
Oh, Lord, this has been an amazing year. Yeah, I think it was right in the middle of February in 2015. I was having a quiet conversation through my favorite medium with my mother, who had transitioned not long before. She was very happy. And then Suzanne Wilson, who is the medium, said, oh, your guides are here. They want to talk to you. And it turns out I have 11. I'm very hard to manage. We all have at least one major guide who's been with us our whole life. And when my guide stepped forward, he said, you may call me Thomas. And I said, Thomas Jefferson. And that was right. It should have been more surprising, but I've just revered Thomas Jefferson all my life. I wrote a book about his life with his wife during the Revolutionary War. It was published by Doubleday in 1993. It didn't surprise me as much as it should have, but Thomas Jefferson is my primary spirit guide, and he was the one who insisted I had to write Liberating Jesus, because he, in the latter part of his life, he was very, very spiritual, but not religious. He made the Jefferson Bible, which is his own little study Bible, in English, French, Greek, and Latin. He just pasted side by side the words of Jesus so he could better understand them. And he says now that he actually wrote an earlier version of Liberating Jesus, but it was not the right time. He didn't publish it. So he was determined it was going to get published now. He didn't even give me a choice. He said, you got to do this. And it turned out actually to work out well. But he and I have had 17 lifetimes together. We're just old buddies, I guess. But he's a wonderful guy. I mean, he doesn't want to be called Thomas Jefferson now. He even had a later lifetime. He wants to go by that lifetime. His name in that lifetime was John, and he was a simple farmer in Wales. All that stuff out of his system.
Well, yeah, because that's what he really wanted to do, was spend his time on the farm.
Simple. Yes, that's right. His family, his farm, and his books. That's what he wanted.
Yeah. He certainly has been in the past my favorite founding father, especially I remember when I first started and I discovered the Jefferson Bible, and some people would like to think that he wrote it to get attention. No, he didn't write it to get attention.
He never intended it to be published. It was his study Bible.
That's correct. It was his personal Bible. And he just, I think that it just shocked me tremendously when I found other people criticizing him for doing that.
Yes,
because I don't think they understood exactly where he was coming from or what it was doing. What did it feel like to channel someone like Thomas Jefferson?
It felt normal. I just felt really brilliant, because your personal primary spirit guide is actually almost a part of your mind. And it was easy. It was fun. It was joyous. I just felt really brilliant. But he was making me feel smart. We weren't doing it fast enough, I guess. So on June 9th, 2015, he seized my friend Suzanne in a Walmart parking lot. And he said, we apologize. The energy is going to be much higher because you'll be channeling the master. Please, without the benefit of filters, to slow the transmission. For some reason, that was important. And at 2 o'clock the next morning, I woke up with a terrible urge to write. And in two weeks, I channeled an entire book from the master.
2 weeks?
2 weeks.
Oh, my heavens.
It was an amazing experience. I mean, you think it would be sort of lovely and uplifting. I mean, it was really intimidating. One thing people need to understand is that the dead call Jesus the Master. I've never seen them call him anything else. And the Master is much, much more important and revered in the afterlife levels than he is anywhere on earth. We tend to almost dismiss him. He's almost like a pet god or something. He's not. He's extremely powerful. And to have him in your mind making your fingers move is an incredible experience. I was very intimidated, let's just say.
Well, who wouldn't be? I mean, yes. why was it that Thomas said that Liberating Jesus had to come out now? Why is it so important now?
We are in the process, people on Earth are in the process of undergoing an elevation of our consciousness. This has been going on probably for more than a century, the process of enlightening us, but it became much more urgent after the Second World War when we used atomic bombs in warfare. What they're trying to do is retard our weapons development while at the same time they jumpstart our spiritual development, because otherwise we will destroy the planet. There's a very, very real danger that we as a society, as you can see, it's falling apart around us. I'm not telling you anything new, but they're working now to elevate the consciousness of the planet. And a key part of that is this ancient wisdom that is in the Bible that is utterly ignored by Christians. I mean, Christians have the winning hand. It's just that it was all in order to preserve those teachings, Paul wrapped them in first century Jewish theology. The Christians have spent the past 2,000 years loving the wrapping, playing with the wrapping, ignoring what was inside. And it's time for us now to say, thank you, Paul. Now we can open the gift and open the gift and read the Gospels without the rest of the Bible in the way. That's all he asks. Because when we do, we are going to want to live those teachings. And if enough people do it, the world will be transformed. You can't transform the world until you first transform yourself.
Yes.
And the beauty of those teachings is they do transform you internally. I'm living proof. You wouldn't have liked me 6 or 7 years ago. I wasn't nice. But it makes a tremendous difference to live those Gospels. It does transform you.
But what is the most surprising thing that you learned in writing this book?
Oh, my goodness. Everything, every page. Because I didn't read it until after Jesus left me, and then I felt like a spent balloon. And I told Suzanne I couldn't publish this. This was too radical. And I hadn't written it anyway, and they made me put my name on it and write it in my voice. But I was convinced over the summer, that last summer, that indeed it was what Jesus wanted, and that's why it was published. I think the most surprising thing I've learned, I don't even know how to begin to answer that question. I guess I've learned not just that Jesus is real, but that the thing that many people have suspected all along is actually true. Jesus did not come to start a religion. Jesus came to end religions. Jesus came to teach us to relate to God on our own. God is spirit, worship in spirit and in truth. He had it in for clergymen. He doesn't want clergymen. He didn't want us to package his teachings with Judaism. Don't put new wine into old wineskins. Everything he told us not to do was done. So I guess many people have said to me, I've always suspected this was true. People who've actually sat down and read the Gospels by themselves have had the same feeling I had long ago, which was, I think we're missing some boats here. And it turns out we are. Jesus is asking us now to free him from the religion that he did not start and to listen to him and then to follow those teachings, pardon the expression, religiously.
Well, do we all have spirit guides?
We do, dear. Yeah, everybody does. I don't think we could live very long if we didn't have them. We meet with them during the night while we astral travel. Everybody's an astral traveler. Your body sleeps, but your mind never does. And so you meet with your guides, you meet with your dead loved ones, you take classes, you explore, you have fun. That's when we do our R&R, when our bodies are asleep. And our spirit guides helped us plan this lifetime, and their spiritual growth is heavily invested in our following the plan that we all made together before we were born. We sometimes modify the plan, too. My whole rest of my life plan has been modified now. But, for example, Thomas told me not only that I had to write this book, but he said I was helping him in his spiritual growth by writing it with him. So, that was kind of my deciding factor when he said that. He did so much for us, it didn't seem like a lot to do for him.
Well, we need to take a break right here, and when we come back, I'm going to ask you about how can we come to know them better, that is, our spirit guides. We'll be back with our guest, Roberta Grimes, Liberating Jesus, Christine F. Anderson Publishing and Media, on the web at robertagrimes.com. RobertaGrimes.com. And when we return, we're going to give a copy of this wonderful book away. How would you like to win a free copy of the book we're talking about? Liberating Jesus by Roberta Grimes, published by Christine F. Anderson. If you know the answer to this hour's trivia question, you're going to win that book. And actually, here is the question. Name our final guest for hour two, the last time I hosted 21st Century Radio. That's all you got to do is send me $25,000 and then name the final guest on hour two, the last time I hosted 21st Century Radio. And first qualified caller with the right answer is going to win. But you need to qualify, and here's how you do it. If you know the answer to this hour's quiz question on 21st Century Radio and you have not won from us in the last 60 days, call in now. 410-922-6680. That's 410-WCBM-680. First with the right answer wins. Prizes are available for you to pick up at the WCBM studios in Pikesville after Friday of this week. Winners have 60 days to pick up the prizes and must wait 60 days before winning another prize from 21st Century Radio. Good luck.
And now, from approximately coast to coast, you're listening to 21st Century Radio with Dr. Bob Hieronymus. Oh, I'm Bob Elliott, one half of the Bob and Ray team from radio, stage, screen, and television. You must have heard of us. I hope you enjoy the show.
Our brother, Bob Elliott. He has now gone on to his reward, and I hope to see him tonight. Maybe in my dreams I'd listen to Bob and Ray every other day, and I sure do miss Bob. Welcome back to 21st Century Radio. Our guest is Roberta Grimes, Liberating Jesus, Christine F. Anderson, Publishing and Media, on the web at robertagrimes.com. When I saw this book, before I read it, I didn't quite understand where it was going, but I'm telling you, this is such a delightful piece of work in many ways. You know, our listeners probably know that I was going to become a priest. I don't think, Roberta, you probably ever thought I would be a priest, right?
No, it was unlikely. But, you know, many people who are espousing the Lord's truth come from very Christian backgrounds. I certainly do. So, I'm not at all surprised. You're a seeker, and you really want to know the truth. And that's the important thing about this process.
Yes, indeed. Indeed. We've had listeners in the past give us a call and basically said, you know, Jesus is coming back. It's true, but he's going to be carrying a machine gun, and he's coming back to get even.
See, the beauty of what's happening now is that all of that nonsense is going away.
I hope
nobody, so. I'm telling you, nobody can sit down and read the whole of the Bible, Genesis to Revelation, and possibly believe that it is the work of a sane, rational, loving, internally consistent God. It's not. It's full of contradictions, and a lot of it is plain evil. Revelation is not going to happen. Revelation is the ravings of a madman. The only reason people think it's all the inspired word of God is that in 325 in the Council of Nicaea said, oh, we're being inspired by God. Well, you know, if you believe that, there's a bridge I'll sell you.
Well,
it's just God deserves more respect than that from us.
You're right.
I mean, Jesus himself says, try the spirits. Well, let's try the books of the Bible for a change. Jesus says right in the Gospels that he is replacing the whole Old Testament. He said, throw it away, replace it with God's law of love. But that wasn't done. It was packaged up that way. Mm-hmm. I mean, I could go on and on about this.
Well,
I wasn't sure, dear, that this was really from Jesus. I really was scared to publish it. I had never heard of CFA Publishing and Media. That was someone or publishing company Thomas chose. Within a few weeks, it had been bought in volume by all 10 major chains in the United States. It's being bought internationally. It's in the process of being translated into 35 languages, and it's only a few months old. So I have to believe now that it's what Jesus wants, because, you know, I prayed, if you don't want this, Lord, please just make it go away while the office is happening.
You know, before we had our break, that we were going to come back to the question, how can we come to know our spirit guides better? Can we take a look at that now?
Of course.
Thank you.
Well, here's the thing. We all have spirit guides. Some people don't want to know or care, and you don't have to. They're not supposed to break into our lives. What Thomas did was somewhat unusual, but he was pretty desperate because I was ignoring him. The easiest way to get to know your guide first is to start interacting with them. When you're ready to go to sleep at night, say thank you to your guide. You know, thank you for helping me hit my marks. And I have this particular question. Thank you for giving me the answer to it. Tell them what the question is, then go to sleep. And when you wake up in the morning, pay attention to the first thoughts in your mind. Even before I knew my guides, I was working with them by repeatedly giving them questions. And they don't always give you the answer right away. Sometimes the answer isn't what you want either. But that's a way to start. I then recommend that if you really want to know them, you find a spiritual medium who is able to communicate, help you communicate with your guides. Suzanne Wilson, who, as I say, I just adore. She's terrific. This is one of her specialties. And I have a lot better relationship with Thomas because she's there. Because he tries to give me information or give me yes or no answers. I'm not psychic. And one thing I could do, I could channel, but I can't do anything else. But it's worth doing, I think, because my life is so much richer now that I have this. I mean, it's like having the world's best friend, and this is you're his best friend, too, while you're alive. Mm-hmm. I mean, he pays all his attention to you. It's a wonderful relationship.
Yeah, indeed. I know quite a few people. One of my dearest friends is Geraldine Day, and she is her husband was Leon Day. He was a Hall of Fame ball player. And she, if it weren't for Jesus, she would just die. She really would. Because of all of the love, it's all keyed to love with her. And this poor lady has been in and out of so many different hospitals. But she still hangs in there, and Jesus is her very, very good friend. And she's the kind of person that I would have kind of, she obviously the kind that turns the other cheek, and she loves everyone. It's unconditional, and basically she doesn't judge others.
That's very important.
Yeah. It is because there's so much judgment going on around by people who really are not necessarily really capable of really judging, as far as I'm concerned. But
we're not supposed to judge. Judge not that you be not judged.
Correct.
Forgive, but you'll be forgiven.
But unfortunately, it's rampant, especially in
fundamentalism.
Fundamentalism is filled with judging and telling other people as to who's better than who, and I don't know how they know how to do that. Now, what do Jesus and the dead tell us is the meaning and purpose of life, of human life?
We're here to learn to grow spiritually. This is a bad afternoon in a spiritual gym. All the things we think are terrible, death of a child, loss of a job, marital problems, whatever they are, those are just those machines in the gym so we can strengthen our spiritual muscles. We eagerly plan these bad things, quote, bad things, into our lives because we come here, we want to grow, we want to learn. It's a craving when you're there. And so that's really all it is. And Jesus tells us that too. He tells us we have to keep making spiritual progress or we'll fall backwards. He says, to him who has will be given more and he'll have an abundance. From him who doesn't have, even what he thinks he has will be taken away, and throw that worthless servant out into the outer darkness where there is wailing and gnashing of teeth. I didn't understand what that meant until I read Liberating Jesus. But according to the Master, that's what happens. You can't stay static in your spiritual growth, which is the whole reason the universe exists, a place for us to grow. We have to keep adding. We have to keep growing. If we don't, we will fall back.
Would you say that Jesus did not die for our sins, but instead he had come to earth as our teacher?
Yes, he says that. And the people around him call him the teacher. Here's the fact. If Jesus came as a sacrifice, he wouldn't have had to say a word except just, hi, I'm here to redeem you from God's anger at all your terrible sins. Let me at that cross. I got better stuff to do. He wouldn't have even needed to rise from the dead. The sacrifice, and he's saying, it is finished. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
But he came to teach us, and part of that teaching, some of the most important part of the teaching from the viewpoint of the first century folks was life is eternal. How do you teach people who know better that life is eternal? Well, he demonstrated it.
That's right.
He became dead, and then he rose, and he said, ta-da! He probably didn't say ta-da.
Yeah.
But basically, he said, see, I didn't die, neither will you. That's what it was about.
Yes, life seems to be are taking off various garments and living in different places on and off until we find out why we're here and what we're to do about it. Now, you believe that any religion that subdivides, now this is really important, I'll start this in the beginning. Do you believe that any religion that subdivides what should be a people united in love is an obstacle to our spiritual growth?
Just remember, Bob, I didn't write that. It's in the book, yes. It's Jesus who believes that the religion that we have and call Christianity, backing up a step, he said, by their fruits will you recognize them. You know, look at the religion, but then look at its fruits. And he says in Liberating Jesus what the fruits are of Christianity, and they're not pretty. We are all part of the mind of God. Our minds are part of the mind of God. We know that as afterlife researchers. And it's all confirmed by what Jesus says in the Gospels. So if we are all united in one, why do we have to have all these different, spiritual paths? We don't need all those spiritual paths. All we need is to learn to love and forgive. And you can do that, and it's easy. It's easy. You just have to take it seriously.
Now, one of the things that I really wanted to leave our listeners with is the gospel words of Jesus suggest that he had five educational objectives. On page 135 in your book, you tell us what they are. Could you touch on them, please, before
we have to go? I've been doing speaking in Denver and environs. I just sold my personal copy. I didn't bring enough. He came to teach us. Why don't you read them, sir? Because I don't.
Oh, sure. Let me read. Yes, because I really enjoyed this. He came to reveal to us the true nature of God.
That's
second,
very important.
He came to show us how to relate to God individually. Let's underscore that individually. And third, he came to teach us how to make the most spiritual progress while on earth. Fourth, he came to help us understand that our lives really are eternal. And finally, he came to give us a taste of what the afterlife is like. Boy,
right.
Now, yeah. You know, all the time I used to spend up at the altar, I wish I would have learned those things, but unfortunately, that's not how my life went. I had to discover these things at the age of 72. Whoops, we're just about out of time. Thank you for joining us, Roberta Grimes, Liberating Jesus, and you can go to her website at robertagrimes.com.
Stimulating talk and breaking news on Talk Radio 680 WCBM Baltimore and WCBM.com.
Fox News Radio, I'm Rich Dennison.